out that the things that he is saying is not the proper way, the right way, the good way. He is doing it to illustrate the following points. So seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. Now, I want to notice Paul is talking about here, because we must understand once again why he wrote as he did, in order to try and to correct these Corinthian saints. He did not glory after the flesh, as we're going to see on down here in verses, on down 23, on down to 33, the end of the chapter. But notice here, for you suffer. Now, I want to make one more point here on in verse 18, seeing that I may glory after the flesh, I will glory also. In verse 19, you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. To become wise in our own conceit is a very, very dangerous place to get into. If we just assume that we have all of this wisdom, as the Corinthians did, and there was such wisdom that they had, when we do that, when we become so wise in our own conceits, we open ourselves up to fools. We open ourselves up to being instructed by those that are fools. And that's what the Corinthians did. They thought they were so wise and they knew so much. Then they allowed, actually, fools to come in. Now, as a result of that, it was the Corinthians who suffered. Any time that we allow fools to minister to us, then we are going to suffer for it. And there are five ways we see here that the Corinthians suffered as a result of listening to these fools, or opening themselves up to the fool. Notice, you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. This is one of the greatest tragedies in the church today, is people are brought into horrible bondage. They are in bondage to the law. They are in bondage to so many other things. They're in bondage to men and so many things like that. You see, the grace of God actually is a message of liberty. It sets us free. And if we are not listening to the message of divine grace, then we are going to be bound. And so when we allow the fool to reign, Paul says, he will bring you into bondage. So if a man bring you into bondage. Number two, if a man devour you. The word means to plunder. And basically this is what had happened to the Corinthians. They allowed all of these other false preachers and teachers in there, and they had just taken them for everything they had, as it were. The Corinthians had given them their substance. They were just devoured by them. Number three, if a man take of you, that means if he rob you. And these people had been robbed, actually, of the gospel, because the teachers they were listening to were certainly not preaching and teaching the gospel of divine grace. And if we are not hearing the depth of that message today, then we are being robbed. And so the Corinthians were robbed of what they could have had. The majority of Christendom today is being robbed of what they could have had, because they simply will not step out and believe God to reveal truth to them. So if a man take of you. Number four, if a man exalt himself. And we find that's the Nicolaitan condition that Jesus mentioned over in the book of Revelation. It means the clergy over the laity. And it is in those of the ministry those who are in authority, they begin to exalt themselves over the people that they are preaching to. They talk down to them, and they minister down to them. So if he exalt himself, number five, if he smite you on the face, that is, if he insults you. Well, this is what happened whenever these Corinthians suffered this ilk of foolishness to come in on them. Verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Now, they had accused Paul of being weak. Remember that, his letters are weighty and bold, but in bodily presence he is weak and his speech contemptible. And that's when Paul had to inform them that whenever I come down there, I'm not going to be weak as you think I am. And so once again, he uses this expression meaning exactly the opposite. So I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Notice, howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And so again, the foolishness that Paul is talking about is the fact that he was defending himself, and that really is not the way that the way of God or he wanted to do. But here is some of the things that evidently Paul had been accused of. We've seen some of the others before. We'll hear some more. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Evidently accusing him of not even being a Jew, and yet he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. They were making all these boasts as though Paul, none of these things were true of him. And then he speaks in labors. And the labors he's talking about here is labors in ministry, but also literal working for his living. He was a tent maker by trade, as we know, so he had to resort to that trade in order to preach the gospel simply because the money to support him was not forthcoming. And so in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. And I think that those stripes could have been many, not just the literal stripes that he mentions on down here in verse 25, but stripes that the enemy would, beatings and bruisings that the enemy would bring against him. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. A good commentary on that one is 1 Corinthians 15:31, where that Paul speaks of I die daily. In verse 24, he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. And, of course, this is in persecution because he preached the gospel. There were those who actually followed him around from town to town trying to tear down what he was building. In verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. Goodness, he had perils about everywhere he went. It didn't make any difference. You know, he could get around people and he was in peril. Or he would go out in the wilderness alone. He was in peril. And the reason for that is because it was Satan himself who was trying his best to stop the furtherance of this message. And Satan hasn't changed his tactics. He is still going to come against those who are preaching the gospel of divine grace. And so there are still going to be those perils. Perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. And you will notice he calls them brethren, but they're not true. Now, I don't think that means that they're unsaved. I think that they're just simply not true brethren to what they should be. We speak of friends today. And you have some friends that are true friends and others that are not. Now, they're still friends, but they are not really loyal friends. And that's what Paul is talking about here. These false brethren are not loyal brethren. They were those that really did try to hurt him rather than trying to be a benefit to him. he continues with this way of suffering that he went in weariness. Of course, he was tired walking everywhere he went and all of these various things, and he didn't have any other conveyance. In weariness, in painfulness. And he doesn't tell us what all those pains were about, but I'm sure with being deprived even of the necessities that we have seen before, then it certainly did add to his misery and discomfort. In watchings often. This word watching means sleeplessness, and most of the time when you see it, it speaks of staying awake to watch, and oftentimes that is in regard to prayer. You see, like Jesus said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour after the disciples went to sleep? And so watching is not just watching around, just looking around to see what we can see. It's really watching unto prayer. And so in watchings often, in hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness, all of these things really could have been alleviated had the Corinthians supported Paul the way that he did. But he just said, I had to go with what I had. This is the condition that I found myself in, and so this is the way that we continued to preach the gospel. Well, in verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Now, one thing that these privations that Paul is talking about here do, they make us sympathetic with other people. And so Paul says, who is weak and I am not weak? I think he understood people better because of the things that he went through. Because of the deprivation that he had, then he could understand others that were deprived for one reason or another. Or who is offended and I burn not? Paul understood what it was. That word burn, it simply means the anger was stirred up in him because of the inequities and because of the things. And we hear things today, hear newscasts and things like that, and it does. It just burns us up inside. We're not to be controlled by that, but nevertheless, we should be able to empathize and to feel the pain of other people. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. In verse 30 he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I lie not. And so these are things that he spoke before God. And of course, it didn't make any difference whether the Corinthians believed him or whether they didn't. That was immaterial. God knew that they were true, and of course he hoped that the Corinthians would take what he said. And then he gives one demonstration of, something he went through in verse 32. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. Now, you can read about that there in the book of Acts. It's in the 9th chapter, in the 25th verse. Where they were surrounding Paul, and they're wanting to take him, to arrest him. In verse 33, through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, what I want to notice here is that God is not always real careful, so to speak, from our point of view, as to how he delivers. From what I understand, the basket here was actually a garbage basket. That's the one that they let down through a window over the wall. And sometimes God delivers us in some less than spectacular ways. They can be rather humiliating ways. But if this is the way that God chooses to deliver us, then we really do have to take it and rejoice in the Lord for it. After all, he was not arrested and suffered all of these things and locked up to where he couldn't preach the gospel at that time. It happened later. But at this time, the Lord saw fit to deliver him, and this is the way he did it. And so he was let down by a wind in a basket and escaped this man's hand, and of course must accept the deliverance that God has offered. And so I want to go back the reason that Paul wrote the things that he did here, because these are sufferings that Paul went through. This is the reasons that you know, a number of these reasons that Paul had asked them early on, back over here, if they wanted them to bear with him. Well, these are the things that he used as a leverage of why they should listen to him, why they should bear with him. Is because of these various things that that he had gone through. In verse 4, he makes that statement. He says, if you receive another spirit which you've not received, or another gospel which you've not accepted, you might well bear with me. And then all of these things from verse 5 clear to the end of this chapter is the leverage or the reason that Paul gives as to why they should bear with him. He had the experience to back it up. He really deserved. He had the experiences already that he deserved their listening to him in this matter. All right. Let's take about 5 minutes. We'll come back to chapter 12. Let us go on then to chapter 12. Paul continues along this same line in chapter 12, or just a little bit. As he said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. He said it really doesn't do all of that much good. But there's one more thing that he wants to bring to them, showing once again the authority that he had and again why that they should listen to him. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Now, he is talking about himself, but he speaks of himself in the third person. This is an experience that he had. And there's a reason that he spoke of himself in this manner, because he did not want people getting their eyes off on him. And so, I knew a man in Christ. And that, when you say that, then you level yourself with every other Christian, because we're all in Christ. And so he was not making a claim to fame here, as though no one else had the opportunity to do such a thing. He was not trying to put himself up head and shoulders above everybody else, where everybody would just turn the head and look at Paul every time he walked by. And this is not the way it should be. And so, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. And then you will notice he puts in parenthesis here, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. What he means by that statement is, I do not know if I just had a vision, that would have been in the body, or whether I actually died, my spirit left my body. That's what it means to be out of the body. Now with John, when he had the visions there, in a number of visions there in the book of Revelation, he tells us, I was in spirit on the Lord's day. He was never given any indication that he was out of the body, that he had actually died. It was in spirit that he saw all of this. And so Paul says here, whether in the body, whether I was just in spirit, falling into a trance, so to speak, the way John did, he says, I don't know. Or out of the body. Now, my personal opinion is that Paul was out of the body. You can compare that with Acts 14:19. That's when they dragged him and Barnabas, Paul and the man that was traveling with him, dragged him out of the city and stoned him and left him for dead. And I do believe he was dead, and I think that is when he had this experience. But whether that is true or not, I don't know. Paul didn't know. And so he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Anyway, what happened is that such in one caught up to the third heaven. We don't know a whole lot about heaven, but we do know that there are at least three levels, because Paul speaks here of the third heaven. Now, the first heaven is the one we can look up and see. And then there is the second heaven, and I believe that really is where all the battles, satanic forces and all of that are located. And then we have the third heaven, and whether there are levels even beyond that, I simply do not know. But we do know of the third heaven.